Let us pray. Our Father, we bow our heads and we bow our hearts in light of who you are. You are the holy, pure, separate, unique being of the universe. And we want your name to be holy. Lord, not only that is, we want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done. And we want that to happen in our hearts. You are the sovereign God of the universe. We want you to reign in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would give us those needs that we have on a daily basis. We all have them, Lord. So I pray and thank you for sustaining us physically and spiritually. And Lord, we praise your name for that. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us because we do fall short of your glory and we do sin. And you are such a good and gracious God that you have provided a Savior for us. We are so thankful for you. Lord, we pray that the gospel would be preached around the world today. Lord, we pray that in Asia and in Africa and in Australia and in Europe and South America and in North America and every island in between, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. Lord, we pray for our country and for our state, for our city, that you would allow gospel preaching churches to proclaim the name of Jesus today, that you would be lifted up. Lord, we desire this in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we desire the day in which we stand shoulder to shoulder with every tribe and tongue and nation and sing praises to our God. Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that until then, that you would fill us and that you would guide us by the power of your great and powerful Holy Spirit, which you have sent into your people, that you would illumine our hearts and our minds to see your truth and see your Son for who he is, and that we would run to him and cling to him and love him with everything in us and give our lives for him. Lord, we pray that this text of scripture that we're about to open up, that you would allow it to lead us closer to you, to see your beauty, and Lord, to praise your name. Lord, I pray that you would use these words for that purpose. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I would ask that you would open up your Bible to John chapter 6, and we'll be covering John chapter 6, verses 35 through 48 this morning. So John chapter 6, verses 35 through 48. Now, the purpose that I have this morning is this. I want you to see the goodness and the love and the beauty of God in this text of Scripture. I want you to see how wonderful God is. He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He is glorious. And this text of Scripture, it just blooms or blossoms like a flower. God's glory, God's goodness, and God's beauty. Now, I need to remind myself, and maybe we need to remind ourselves, of what the mission and the purpose of God is in sending Jesus. You see, God came to his world to save it. How did he do that? Well, God became a man. That's how he did it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of man, fully man. Never before in the history of the world had that ever happened. God became man. Why did he come? To rescue people. He's on a rescue mission. He is beautiful and he is glorious. And the book of John was written to show us that purpose, that mission, that story. I write these things so that you might believe that Jesus, he is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing that you might have eternal life. That's the purpose of this book. I want you to see the goodness, the love, and the glory of God this morning. The sermon title is "The Son Will Lose Nothing." And the two points that I think helps guide us through this text is, the first one is the Father gives, and the second one is the Father draws. The Father gives, verses 35 through 40, and the Father draws, verses 41 through 48. The Father gives, and the Father draws, and the Son loses nothing. That's what he says. I will lose nothing of what the Father gives to me. That is encouraging to us. Let us walk through this text step by step, verse by verse, word by word to see what Jesus is teaching us this morning. First, the Father gives. The Father gives the bread of life. Now, last week we ended with verse 35, so let us read it together to sort of get our bearings straight. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, we need to remember what happened in John chapter 6. Remember, Jesus was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he went up to the mountain, and the crowds followed him, and they were hungry. So what did Jesus do? He took 5 little barley cakes and 2 little salted fish, and he fed a multitude. He fed a multitude up there on that mountain. Then that night, Jesus walked most of the way across the water on top of it, and then got into the boat with the disciples and went to Capernaum. And the next morning, what happened? The crowds came across. They came across to find Jesus. And so, as they came across, Jesus says to them, you're not seeking me because you saw the signs. You're seeking me because you ate your fill of the bread. And then Jesus begins to teach them what real bread is, the bread of life. And this is where he ends up. So the first question that I have for us is, what leads Jesus to make this declaration, I am the bread of life? What causes Jesus to say that? Well, Jesus proclaims that the Father is actually in the process of giving these people something greater than even the manna in the wilderness. What is it that he is giving? Me, he says. I am the bread of life. Now, what misunderstanding does Jesus clarify in this? You see, if you read with me in verses 32 and 33, Jesus is teaching the crowds, and he's saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And what is their response to this? Give it to me. Give me this bread that's coming down. Why? Because we always want to be satisfied with bread. And what does Jesus do? He clarifies what he means. I am the bread of life. Verse 35. And then there are some promises attached to this. He says, I am the bread of life. And if you look with me there in verse 35, he makes 2 promises that comes out of that statement. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. A person must eat physical bread to sustain physical life. That's Jesus' point. He says, I am the true bread of life, meaning that you must come to me. You must believe in me to sustain spiritual life, to have life in your soul. That's what you must do. You must come to me, he says. Application. Jesus is saying, you can trust me to go all in. He's saying that if you come to me, I will satisfy your deepest hunger and your greatest thirst. You can trust his word that if you go all in on Jesus, you will not be disappointed. Rather, you will be completely and totally satisfied. Now, here it becomes interesting. What observation does Jesus make after making this proclamation that he is the bread of life? He says, you see me, but you don't believe. Verse 36, look with me there. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Now that's really important. You see, the people actually saw Jesus. Not only that, they did more than that. What did they do? You see, Jesus made bread and fish. And what did they do? They actually ate it. They actually ate the bread that Jesus made and ate the fish that he made. He says, but you're seeing me, but you don't believe me. What does he mean by that? He means that you're not looking to what this means. You see me, but you don't believe me. You ate your fill and you were satisfied in your stomach, but you don't see what I am doing. I am the bread of life. How does Jesus react to that, that they saw, but they didn't believe? You see, remember his mission now. What is his mission? I have come into this world so that you might believe and live. And here he is standing, teaching, and they're not believing. How does he react? Verse 37. You see, not only does the Father give Jesus as a gift, the Father gives people to the Son. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. How does Jesus respond to the unbelieving crowd? He declares two truths. The first truth, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the second truth, the one who comes to me, I will by no means, or I will in no wise ever cast out. That's huge. That's so huge that we need to step through these two truths real carefully. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. I need to ask you a question. Who is giving in that phrase there in verse 37? The Father is giving. Next question. What is the Father giving? All. People. Everyone. The Father is giving people. And what will those people who are giving do? They will come to Jesus. All or everyone the Father gives me will come to me. Truth number one. Truth number two. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So some more questions. What will never happen, never ever happen to a person who comes to Jesus? He will never cast you out. He will never cast you out. You come to him, and what happens? He holds you in his hand, and he will never let you go. All who come to me, I will in no wise, I will never cast out. Or to say it the other way, or to ask it the other way, what will certainly happen to the person who comes to Jesus? They will certainly remain with him forever. As your pastor, I want you to know that if you have believed in Jesus and have come to him, you are a gift from the Father to the Son. You are a precious treasure. You are a child of God. And I want you to know God's love for you. He loves you. And Jesus will never, ever cast you out. He will hold you and never turn you away, never cast you out. As a treasured child of God, Christ Jesus will never cast you out. He will care for you. He will protect you. And the next question is, why? Because you are the gift of the Father to the Son. That's why. What reason does Jesus provide in this text in support of his promise that I will never ever cast you out? It's because that is what the Father sent him to do. Jesus had come to give life to those in which the Father gives to the Son. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. These verses help me so much. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You come to Jesus, he gives you the right, the authority to be called the child of God. You call him Father, he calls you child. That's the relationship that Jesus brings to the person who comes to him and receives him. Now, children of God are born not of blood or the will of man, but of God. So Jesus says in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." God, Christ Jesus has come to accomplish the will of the Father. Now, this makes me ask a question. What is the will of the Father? I'm glad we asked, because Jesus is about to tell us what that will is. Verses 38 and 39 and 40. Christ Jesus reveals to us the will of the Father. If Christ has come to accomplish the will of the Father, well, then what is it? Verse 39 says this, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but I will raise it up on the last day." Verse 40 says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Do you see? Jesus says this twice, 39 and 40. Both of those verses end, "I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 39 is the will of God from the divine perspective between Father and Son. Verse 40 is the will of God from the human perspective between a person and Christ. He gives us two sides to the same coin here in verses 39 and 40. Verse 39, he says, "And this is the will of him who sent me." What is that? "That I should lose nothing." What is Jesus permitted to lose? Nothing. And then, from what may Jesus lose nothing? According to the text, all that the Father has given to him. All that the Father has given to him, he is not permitted to lose nothing. So if we combine verse 37 and 39 together, we get these four truths that come to the surface. All that the Father gives to Jesus will come to Jesus. Everyone that comes to Jesus, Jesus will never cast out. Jesus will lose nothing of what the Father gives to him. And Jesus will raise those that the Father gives to him on the last day. That's from the divine perspective. Now, let's look at verse 40 from the human perspective. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." What will be given by God? Eternal life. To whom will eternal life be given? What does the text say? Everyone who sees him and believes in him. Eternal life is not granted apart from seeing and believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus will raise those who see and believe on the last day. Question for you. Will Christ accomplish the will of the Father? Yes, absolutely. The thought of Christ not accomplishing the will of the Father is incomprehensible. So know, once again as your pastor, so know this. If you have placed your life into the hands of Jesus Christ, your story is written. He will raise you up on the last day. He will raise you up on the last day. He will hold you as the treasured gift that you are, the gift of the Father to the Son. He will place you in his hand and he will never let you go. He will lose nothing. This brings us to point number two. Not only does the Father give, but the Father draws. The crowd opposes the gift of God, Christ. How does Jesus' listeners react to this truth that he just preached? Read with me verse 41. "So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, 'I am the bread of life that came down from heaven.'" Now that word grumble is very unique. Sometimes it's translated as murmur. Grumble or murmur. It's the same word used in the Greek text or translation of the Old Testament of the Israelites who were discontent in the wilderness. They grumbled. They grumbled. What specifically are they grumbling about right here, right now? They were grumbling that Jesus claimed to be the bread of heaven that came down. And why were they unable to believe that he was the bread of heaven that the Father had sent into the world? Because they thought they knew. They thought they knew his origins. They thought they knew where he really came from. And this was revealed in verse 42. You see, they grumbled because they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Do you see why they grumble? They think they know who he really is. They think they know. You see, we know Joseph, Jesus, and we know your mother Mary. We know your parents. How can you say that you are the bread that came down from heaven then? We know you. They thought they knew. They thought they knew. They did not know, though, that he was the eternal Word of God made flesh. They did not know that his miraculous conception and virgin birth that took place in Bethlehem. And they did not know that Jesus was the God, man. So they grumbled instead of listened. And we so quickly look at them and say, why did you do that? And I don't look at myself. Because how many times have I thought I'd known something and closed my ears and would not listen to what was being said? Let us not be like that. When Jesus says it, let him shape us. Let his truth guide us to himself so that we might have life everlasting. Let us not grumble, murmur. Let our hearts be open to hear the words of Jesus Christ. What is Jesus' response to their grumbling and their refusal to believe his words? Now, I know what I would have done. I said, let's sit down and have a little talk about what really happened. You see, I was really born of a virgin. See, I was really born in Bethlehem, not here in Galilee. And I am the Word of God made flesh. That's the type of conversation I think that I would have. Is that what Jesus said? No. He does not address their heads. What does he address? He addresses their hearts. Look at me with the text. He says, verse 43, Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. He knew that if they didn't get their hearts right, it didn't matter what he said, they were not going to listen to him. So he says, don't grumble. And then after that, what does Jesus tell the grumbling crowd? You see, the Father is the one who draws people to Christ. God the Father draws people to his Son, Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, Jesus begins by saying this, no one can come to me. Now, if we stopped right there and didn't go on, now think about that. No one can come to me, stop. That would be a very bad day, wouldn't it? I'm glad that Jesus does not stop there. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, God the Father works in the life of individuals to open up blind eyes to see, open up deaf ears to hear, and to embrace Jesus for who he really is, to see him and to believe in him, the Son of God and the Savior. What will Jesus do with those who the Father draws to the Son? Once again, he says, Jesus declares that those the Father draws to him, he will raise up on the last day. That's the third time he's used that phrase in this passage so far. I think Jesus is trying to tell us something. You come to him, and I will take care of you all the way to the very end. I promise you that. I will raise you up on the last day. Verse 39, those the Father gives to the Son, Jesus will raise them up on the last day. Verse 40, those who see and believe, Jesus will raise them up on the last day. And here, those that the Father draws to the Son, Jesus will raise them up on the last day. He who began a good work in you will continue it and complete it all the way until the day of Jesus Christ. Coming to Christ is the work of God in the heart of a person. The Father gives and the Father draws people to the Son. And those who come, those who believe, will never be cast out. They will be cared for and kept in Christ until the last day. What does that cause us to do? When we know that it is God that saves us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy, he has called us to himself. What does that cause us to do? I'll tell you what it does not cause us to do. It does not cause us to stand here and say, well, I did it, didn't I? It doesn't cause us to say this, I got it down pat, figured it out. No, it does not cause us to do that. It calls us to humble ourselves, to fall on our knees at the feet of the one who saved us and praise his name because he has begun a good work in us and he will complete it. The Father gives and the Father draws and we worship. Now, this causes me to ask a question. How does God do his work of drawing a person to his son? How does God do that? Jesus answers that question for us in this text. God draws by teaching people through his word and through his spirit. That's how he works. He works in our heart. Look at verse 45. He says this, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Jesus here quotes Isaiah 54. He says, in the prophets, it's an allusion or a quotation of Isaiah 54, and they all will be taught of God. You see, God, through his spirit and through his word, gives sight to blind eyes, gives hearing to deaf ears, and gives life to dead and stony hearts. Jesus says this even here at the end of chapter 6. If you'll look with me at verses 63 and 64, what does Jesus say? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. It is the Spirit that gives life, and it comes through the Word of God. What does Jesus mean when everybody shall be taught of God? It means that God, the Spirit, is at work through his word to change hearts. A person does not come to God apart from Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that for a second. There are no bypass routes around Christ to God. There's no you know, 464 or 480. There's no bypass routes around Christ to God. You come through the Son. You see, you believe, and you worship. It's through the Son. There's no bypass routes around that. Now, this brings us to Jesus revealing God. In light of the fact that people are taught of God and hear from the Father and learn, what important reminders about his earthly ministry does Jesus provide for us? Look at verse 46 with me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. You see, no mere human has ever seen and knows the fullness of God's glory. That's Christ and Christ alone who has done that. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, has seen and knows the full glory of God. And Jesus, the Son of God, has entered into this world to make the glory of God, the Father, known. John chapter 1, verse 18 says it explicitly. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the Father's bosom, he has made him known. The incarnation is stage one of Christ's work in this world. Never before had God became man, and no other event is more significant in the world than this, that God became man, and that he lived a life, a perfect life, and that he died a death, a sacrificial death, that he was placed in a tomb. And then on the third day, he rose again in victory over sin and death. And then he has arisen and ascended to the Father, and at the right hand now makes intercessions for us. There is no other event greater in the history of the world than that event right there. How does Jesus apply the importance of his coming from God to people? Well, he does three things. He calls people to believe, and he gives them eternal life, and then he gives them an illustration or a reminder of how significant and important he is. Look at verses 47 through 48. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." And then he says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus calls people to believe. "I am the bread of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me." And then he says, "I will give you something if you believe in me. Whoever believes in me has eternal life." And then he makes this statement as an illustration for us. "I am the bread of life." It's so simple, and yet it's so profound. I need to eat to live, and I need Jesus to live. Real life. How do we take this home with us today? How do we allow his teaching to change our lives? How do we take this home into your homes or into your workplace? For the Christian, I want you to remember this. Never, ever forget that the Father has given you to the Son. Heart, mind, soul, body, you are a precious gift of God to the Son. You are a gift of love from the Father to the Son. And remember this, the Son loses nothing. He will never cast you out. He will never lose you. Rather, your end is as secure as your beginning. Your story is written. For Jesus promises to raise you up on the last day. So, how does that work out in life? On the good days, we praise him. And on the bad days, we praise him. Because we know that every day won't be a bad day. There is a very good day coming. A day in which he will take us and call us out of the grave and call us to be with him. This life will be hard. I promise you that. And you know that. I'm telling you something you already know. But I tell you this. You, if you have come to Christ, he will never ever cast you out. And there will be a day in which you see him face to face. And you will never ever regret coming to Christ. I don't want you to leave here, Christian, without knowing that. You are in his hand. Now, there might be someone here that has never come to Christ, never placed their faith in Jesus. Jesus' words are also for you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes and has eternal will have eternal life." What are you to do? Just do what he says. Believe. And when you believe and come to him, I promise you, he will never, ever cast you out. There's never been a person who said, "I want to come to Christ," and went that direction, and he says no. He will not do that. That is not his heart. His heart is for you. He will never cast you out. So today, let the Christian be encouraged, and let those who don't know him be the day in which they come and they are not cast out. Let us pray. Father, these truths, they're too big for us. These truths are too powerful for us. And I'm so thankful that you have sent your Son to teach us your word. Lord, I pray today that your children, the ones who love you so much, would know that they are a treasure. And that they would leave here knowing that God loves them and that he is beautiful and wonderful, and that Jesus Christ will never, ever cast out those who come to him. And Lord, for those who may not have ever tasted the goodness and the sweetness of God, may today they taste that by coming and eating the bread of life. Lord, I pray that you would satisfy our souls, quench our thirst, and that we would leave here rejoicing in the Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen.